Today, the 1980s TV series Max Headroom appears on DVD. It's the first home video release in any form of the influential pop culture phenomenon. Our TV critic David Biancooley is very happy to see it again.
People who saw Max Headroom back in the 80s should have no problem remembering him instantly. And not necessarily from the ABC TV series, which shone briefly and brightly in 1987 and 1988. Max, a supposedly computer-generated TV host played by Matt Frewer, was a media sensation for a while. He hosted a music video show, starred in ads for New Coke, okay, so those didn't go well, and even appeared on the cover of Newsweek magazine. But to those too young to have experienced Max firsthand, how do you describe him, much less explain him? Well, let's try. Imagine a background of thin, brightly lit neon tubes, rotating and pulsating in various geometric patterns. Now, in front of that background, place a talking head. No hands, no body, just a head. A head that looks manufactured, like a plastic dummy, but also is eerily human. That's Max Headroom. With a stutter, both oral and visual, that's like a record needle stuck in a groove. But before I have to explain what a record is and a needle, let's just listen to Max. Here he is in the premiere episode of Max Headroom, being introduced to the network executives who are about to make him a star. He's introduced by the network head, played by Charles Rocket.
This will, in fact, revolutionize television. This network has the world's first completely programmable presenter.
Bryce, would you please introduce us to Max Headroom?
What kind of show is this, anyway?
This is not a show, Max. This is the executive board of Network 23.
Exec. You mean you're the people who execute audiences?
There are only 14 episodes of ABC's Max Headroom series, and they're all here. The show is set, as it proclaims at the start of each hour, 20 minutes into the future. But it's a very dark, cynical, Blade Runner type of future. The biggest media giant in the world is Network 23, a global operation. And one of its biggest stars is Edison Carter, a hard-hitting TV news reporter in the 60 Minutes tradition. Played by Matt Frewer, who also plays Max, Edison is a one-man bureau, carrying his own camera and reporting live by satellite. One of many visions of our future this series got right. One detail they got wrong, though, was the size of his camera. It's huge. But so are some of the ideas this series floats very sneakily into a broadcast television program. Like Max Headroom the character, who is an irrepressible talking head, Max Headroom the series dares to bite the hand that feeds it. Plots have to do with Network 23 or other broadcast operations trying to increase their audience share and maximize their advertising revenue through all sorts of nefarious means. Like subliminal ads called blipverts, for example, that run too quickly to fast forward through. In this future, TV is everything. Here's a live report that Edison Carter presents from the hollowed-out wreck of a former movie theater. His news director, back in the Network 23 control room, counts down the moments to air and comments on the piece as it runs live. You might recognize that director's voice. He's wonderfully played by Jeffrey Tambor before he co-starred on The Larry Sanders Show and Arrested Development.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
This is Edison Carter, live and direct. I want to show you something rare.
This was a dream palace. Years ago, people came here for their pictures.
To share dreams and adventures together. These were the days when people sat in groups and watched a single movie, sometimes hundreds of people at one time. Must have been a weird experience. People watching the same screen and the same program.
I can't use more than 30 seconds. Nostalgia isn't what it used to be.
How about you? Do you know what a movie was?
My mom told me about it once. Didn't you have to pay for it or something?
Mm-mm. Is it about standing in line?
Does anybody else know? How about you?
We're a shared experience, Mr. Carter. People gathered together in communal escapism to share adventure, excitement, laughter, romance. They shared these vicarious emotions together. That was before they choked the talent out of this business and gave us game shows and chat shows and news.
Great. That should stir it upstairs. Stay with it.
Before the world became ratings and people became demographics and everything became the product.
Yeah, fighting talk.
This is smart stuff. And way ahead of its time, as a good sci-fi series should be. To me, the most brilliant aspect of all is the origin of the title character. Edison Carter, being chased by bad guys while covering a story, is trying to escape by motorcycle from an underground parking garage. Instead, he goes airborne and nearly dies when he crashes into an exit barrier. The last thing he sees is the warning on the barrier, Max Headroom, an abbreviation for Maximum Headroom, 2.5 meters. When the computer genius back at Network 23 downloads Edison's brain into a computer file, the result is a slightly jumbled visual talking head whose first words, Edison's last thoughts, become his name, Max Headroom. And, as one of the show's creators explains on a separate disc of special features, it was a brilliant case of countrywide free advertising. At the time, every parking garage in England featured the same Max Headroom sign. But with a whole disc reserved for extras, including a segment in which Tambor and other co-stars, but not Matt Frewer, reunite and reminisce, too much is missing. When MTV burst onto cable in 1981, everyone wanted a piece of that action. Britain's upstart Channel 4 wanted a music video outlet of its own, and went to producers George Stone, Annabelle Jankel, and others, who came up with the concept of a computer-generated wise guy host, who would make fun of the videos while presenting them. But Channel 4 wanted to explain the character, so a live-action movie introducing Edison Carter and the whole Max Headroom concept preceded the 13-week music video series. Those all showed up in 1985, and HBO, which had financed part of it, showed the original movie and the Max Headroom video series on HBO and Cinemax, respectively. But with a whole disc of extras, why aren't there any of those Max Headroom music video shows? Why couldn't we have seen him once again interview some of that era's big pop stars, like an unforgettably amused Sting? And why not show a new Coke ad or two, for old time's sake? When TV of the future becomes our collective TV past, we have a duty to preserve it. What there is on this Max Headroom set is delightful, but I want more.
David Bianculli is TV critic for TVWorthWatching.com and teaches television and film at Rowan University in New Jersey.